This is the DJ Spider Podcast, presented by BeatSource.
Welcome to the DJ Spider Podcast, presented by BeatSource. Today, we are lucky to be joined by someone who is an ally to DJs and music producers worldwide. Someone who works at the intersection of music, technology, business, and community. Someone who has built and guided some revolutionary companies and been able to disrupt the music space multiple times in different ways. Please welcome to the show our fearless leader, the CEO of Beatport and BeatSource, Rob McDaniels. Let's go!
Thank you, Spider. Appreciate it. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Thank you for coming back. Like we were saying earlier, we did our first podcast almost 5 years ago, which is insane to me.
Time has flown.
Yeah.
We must have had a lot of fun.
We did. I listened back, and it was the end of 2019. We had no idea a pandemic was coming. This office wasn't built. Like, our kids were way younger. It was a different
time. If you told me a pandemic was coming, I probably would have walked out of that room, I tell you that much, and just gone home and called it a day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And at that time, we had been going through the 20 playlist and going through new songs that had just come out. And there was one part that stood out because we listened to The Weeknd, Blinding Lights.
Oh, yeah.
It had just come out.
Wow.
That was the other thing. Little did we know that would become one of the biggest songs ever. Yeah. But I do have to commend you for your comment on it, because you listen to it and you're like, I like this. It sounds like an 80s retro track, and this could open up the world to doing more songs like this and change the scape of music. And I was like, it actually did.
Well, that's lucky, because I am not a music critic, but even a stopped clock is right twice a day. I'll take it. Just don't ask me any other music questions.
No other ones are coming. But it was crazy to hear, and like Uncut Gems hadn't come out, and I told you some story about seeing The Weeknd and Adam Sandler at Toronto Film Festival. It's things I had forgotten. Yeah. Like, so much has happened since then.
Absolutely. What's funny that you say that is that it's interesting. We were trying to remember when the last time was, and I thought it was like 2 or 3 years ago. But had we just gone back and said it was the month or whatever that song came out, we would have remembered what year it was, right? Because music is really the soundtrack to our lives, and that's just like, proof that that's the case.
No, music is the timestamp. It's like how I can remember all the things through my life. It's how I can remember, in my DJ sets, all of it. I mean, and all the aspects of music. I mean, it's like a joke how DJs can remember the BPM of every single song.
Yeah.
Ever in their entire library. Somehow we forget everything else.
Yeah, we can't remember our wives' birthdays, but we exactly. Remember that.
No idea the anniversary, but I know the BPM of the most obscure disco song or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But it's true. It really, cements those memories in our head, music, and it plays such a huge, role in our life, obviously, which is why we do what we do.
It is, absolutely.
So, and the other thing you mentioned in that interview was that you had always wanted a smoke machine in your office, and I didn't know if you ever got that.
Well, it shouldn't surprise you that I don't have an office, right? Especially,
that's what I thought when I wrote that down.
But I put one in my bedroom.
Okay, good.
So my wife loves it. Yeah.
Yeah, you can just disappear into the bathroom immediately. She's like, "Where is he?"
No, when it's game time, I come out with the with the smoke machine.
You're waving a sheet around your head. Okay, perfect. Well, I'm glad
Let's
you got
that image out of everybody's head, though, please.
Okay, delete that. No, but thank you for being here. I feel like there's so many amazing things that we can discuss, and there's been so much progress through Beatport, BeatSource, and all of the different companies underneath the Beatport umbrella. And I think the first thing I wanted to talk about, and it was something you had emailed and mentioned yesterday, was James Hype and his new residency at Resorts World. Just kicked off, and they have this massive LED screen that takes over the entire casino and hotel on the outside, and the DJs can utilize that to promote their residency. And what he did was show that he had the number one song on Beatport as his promotion. You had no idea that he was going to do that. Beatport had no idea that he was going to do that. That was just something he did on his own. What does that mean to you and the staff at Beatport?
I mean, more than anything, like, that's why we come to work every day. And it's what Beatport means to the artist and community, the DJ community, is what gives meaning to our daily lives, honestly. Like, so it's better than any kind of revenue metric or sales, you know, anything like that. So it was a surprise. So that his management team was in the office yesterday, Serge and Kevin, and, you know, we were halfway through the meeting, and then they said, "Oh, did you hear about this, you know, this billboard in Las Vegas with Beatport on it?" And of course I said, "No, like we don't advertise in that way."
Right.
And they showed it to me and I was just blown away. It was, you know, almost brought tears to my eyes. So it was, they did it for a reason that is extra meaningful to us. They did it because they felt like it prescribed DJ or, you know, culture around the James's performance, right?
Yeah.
And his residency.
Right.
And he wanted the community, that is the, you know, the underground dance community, to know that this was meaningful to him and that this was the vibe he was bringing to his residency, and to welcome our culture in an environment where perhaps our culture isn't always sort of accepted or valued or appreciated. And so, you know, I think Vegas generally has been, you know, on a bit of a, you know, it's been stagnant. And right. So I think bringing in someone like James Hype and his team, I just think it's a huge step in the right direction for Las Vegas and obviously for him, and to be a part of that is really cool.
That's incredible. I think it does speak volumes to what he's going to bring to the table there and just how he sets himself apart as a DJ and aligns himself with you guys and how much he respects Beatport and a platform like that that really champions DJs, underground music, and, you know, he's not, I'm sure he has some statistics from Spotify or Apple or something like that, but he's not putting that up there, you know, and yep. I think that is a good point that you can expect something different from him there, and that's why he showed that to everyone.
Yeah, and I think, if you dig a little bit deeper into that story, you know, while Beatport is mentioned, it was actually DJ City and then BeatSource that first started working with James and his team.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving him that love and promotion. And, you know, so obviously those are two of our products and portfolio companies. And
yeah.
And so it's just nice to see it. Then he, you know, graduates all the way up to the Beatport number one.
It's amazing.
And it's a huge validation for him and his team. So really happy that happened.
Yeah. He came on this show and he wasn't close to as big as he is now, and he was already big then. And
now you can't get him back on the show.
No, now I have to, you know, somehow you lure him in.
Have chumps like me come in.
We can only get you on here, sorry. Yeah, he, you know, he came on the show and he really gave a lot of credit to DJ City, and he loves DJing. You can see it through everything he does. And I think that through, you know, he showed how the DJ edits on DJ City and then into BeatSource and into Beatport really gave him his launch, you know, and his start. And now he's continuing to support on the other side, which is respectable and amazing.
Yeah. Let's see if all the other DJs do it. But once is fine for me. So.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think you're right. In Vegas, things, you know, it's still incredible and the everything's like a sight to see and amazing sounds, but it can be the same thing. And the DJs kind of maybe sometimes dumb it down or do what they do. You know, it's almost like changing the channel. Like, okay, it's all high quality, but it's the same thing over and over.
Yeah. And look, Vegas, I mean, it's a really good, vibrant scene for electronic music,
yeah,
dance music, but it's America as a country is full of these different pockets of activity and excitement. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons I moved back here from London, where I'd spent a couple of years, was, you know, we think there's a ton of growth in the U.S. market, you know, North America and the Americas more broadly. And so we're focusing a lot of time and attention and resources here to really make sure that we're activating all of these, you know, communities and, you know, increasing Beatport's presence around the U.S. So
right.
Vegas is definitely one of the spots we're trying to focus on, but so it's great to be in partnership with these folks.
That's great. And how do you see Beatport and BeatSource's role like within the digital music landscape compared to other streaming services? Because they are streaming services now with the link technology, mm-hmm. but they're completely different, but they utilize some of the same technology.
Yeah. So to break it down as simply as possible. So, you know, Beatport has been around for 20 years and we've been able to survive against the biggest, not only the biggest music companies, but the biggest companies in the world, right? So Apple and Google and Spotify and Amazon and so forth. And it's because our customers are different. Our customers are DJs, either pro or hobbyist DJs. And, you know, we don't chase that sort of general music consumer. And so we are where DJs buy music from other DJs who then go on to produce.
Yeah.
And it's about 75-80% of DJs also either are producers or aspire to be producers. So there's a lot of overlap in that community, which is one of the reasons we also own some companies that provide content for music production. And then, you know, between Beatport and BeatSource, you know, obviously BeatSource is there for that open format DJ that's playing hip hop, pop, Latin, dance, you know, remixes, more sort of the EDM dance. Whereas, you know, Beatport is, there's 32 subgenres of electronic music.
Yeah.
It's a much different shopping experience and DJing experience, as you know. And it's just a different type of customer. So we like having these two brands. And, you know, similarly, like, you know, between streaming and downloading, there's different characteristics. You know, my 19-year-old son, or 17-year-old son as well, they've never downloaded songs in their life,
right?
But they're used to that streaming workflow. So when they start DJing, their entry point is probably, hey, let me play hip-hop and pop music that I'm familiar with, and I'll use the streaming workflow. Mm-hmm. Whereas that, you know, 50-year-old electronic music DJ that's been downloading songs their whole life is probably not going to change their workflow and start streaming through DJ software. They've got their library and they're going to make their set list from some classic songs or songs they've edited and remixed and so forth. So it's just a, every DJ is unique in how they approach their work. And we want to be able to provide all these different products to meet that DJ's needs. We don't want to force them into sort of, hey, here's my one size fits all scalable product, like what Spotify and Amazon have. Like, that's a great product, but that's that's not for DJs, right? You just, just don't find many DJs that are like, oh yeah, buy my music, you know, at these places. So
Yeah, and I think you had mentioned something last time we talked about that, like you said, now the hobby DJs. I mean, we all look at it as professional DJs as, well, this, they're DJs or they're not. But there is probably a huge section of people that just want to have access to being able to DJ if they want, or have a little controller at home. And it's just something relaxing for them as a hobby, just like anything else, like a guitar player.
Yep.
There's so many guitar players. Not everyone's a professional or a session musician or in a band. So probably that's a huge section of people that I think professional DJs don't realize are using these services too.
I mean, we think it's a massive opportunity and a big focus for us. We want to unlock everybody's inner DJ. You know, frankly, I think that can only be good for the industry. And, and if people, as you said, look, not everybody can be DJ Spider, right? as hard as we may try. But I think if they understand the craft and have, they'll earn respect for it if they try to do it and they realize it's challenging. And, you know, I think that they'll become fans, right? It's like, as you said, the example with guitars is a good one. Another one is like soccer, football, right? I mean, not everybody can be, you know, Messi.
Right.
But, you know, are you going to tell kids they can't go play soccer?
Yeah.
Right. No. I mean, they become fans and that's good for the growth of the sport. So, so I think this can only be a good thing for our community and we should embrace it and we should help people learn to DJ. And we're doing a bunch of things in that area. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Is there any interesting new data that you've gotten over the past 5 years on those type of things, like DJs or how many people are using it, or because I remember at the time you were saying something about, you know, this many millions of 36 million people were, you know, visiting Beatport at that time, and a big percentage of them were DJs. Are there any new data points that could be interesting?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, so I guess just take a step back and look at what's happening at a high level in the music ecosystem. So every generation, the music experience changes, right? So every 15 or 20 years, there's nothing we can do about it. It just happens.
Right.
Right. So you shift from tape to CD, CD to download, download to streaming. We're basically 15 years into the world of streaming. So what's next is already here. It's just generally being dismissed, or, you know, especially the big established players, or, you know, who are making tons of money from the current format, are like, ignore that.
Right. That's what it was always like when Napster was coming, and they're like, no, you got to get the CD or whatever it is. Buy the MP3.
Exactly. I've been through two of these cycles already, and all of the signals are there. Right. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you see, you see slowing growth on the streaming side. So I think this last year was the first year that growth, you know, slowed down greater than revenue. I think that's the stat. But so you're seeing slowing growth. You're seeing more U.S. music consumers, especially, I think it's 35% or so, say they're interested in creating music, right? Now, that can mean a lot of different things. Obviously, producing music, but also we think playing with music, because every time as a DJ, you change the pitch of a song, or you remix it, or even mix it together. Like, you're creating a new version of that song, right? And a new experience and an emotional journey for people. So we think that there's, you know, data would suggest that there's about, you know, 10 million poppy DJs in the world, and that number is accelerating very, very quickly. You can only have so many sort of pro DJs, because there's only a certain number of nights that people can play and get paid for.
Of course.
But as you said, people may decide that the way they want to enjoy music is in a much, much more active and immersive experience, not a lean back passive one.
Yeah.
And that DJing is one of the ways they want to do that. Like, I want to decompress for an hour. Do I hit play on a playlist, or do I go over to my little controller and play with music and do a new mix for an hour?
Right.
And so if 1% of Spotify's paying subscribers decide that this is the experience they want, it's 25 times our current subscriber base.
Oh, wow. Right?
And we're already profitable.
Right.
So this has a big impact on the business if we're right on this sort of bigger thesis that's happening in the industry.
That's so interesting. And I think what you said also, the playing with music, if you think about it, with Reels and TikTok and those type of things, people are doing it there. They make the sped up version, the slowed down version. They're their own music supervisors to their own recap videos of their life, and only that is happening because they were given access to these apps. Oh, I can slow it down, I can speed it up, and their creativity comes out. And as they have access to DJ products that are virtual, physical, you know, and all of those, they'll start to experiment with that and do it more the same way people now can do what graphic designers did with their phone in 2 seconds with swiping, when it used to be like, oh, I can call my friend and they'll take 2 weeks to do this. So yeah, that's an interesting thing. And I think as DJing becomes more accessible, that will grow that base of people.
No, I think you really touched on something there, which is, you know, tapping into people's creativity.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. It's there.
Yeah, yeah. That was Instagram. I mean, when you listen to the people who created Instagram, they're like, my wife or someone didn't want to post a picture because it didn't look good, so I created a thing that made filters, you know? Yeah. And it's like, that was the beginning of that thing. And now it goes into music and so many different parts. Editing.
Yeah. And I think that's good for humanity, right?
Yes.
And I think that, you know, if we can translate creative expression into joy and getting together as a community, I think that can only be a good thing. And I think music is a key driver of that. So, I think for the hobby DJ, lowering the barriers to entry, continuing to do that, make it easier and more affordable to start DJing, and then producing is critical. I think it's inevitable that that's what's happening. We're certainly trying to drive that from a technology and product perspective, we're not driving fast enough. But, you know, there's a lot of other great companies in this ecosystem that are doing cool things. We do have one product that's launched since the last time I saw you, which is our web app for DJing,
yeah,
where you can just start mixing in the browser with the sort of the base streaming subscription with Beeport. So you don't even need a controller to understand what it's, you know, to learn to mix songs together. And there's even some basic effects in there and everything, but it's a really cool product.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a fun way to listen through the songs and then go, oh, that might go with that, and put them in order and just play around.
Yeah.
And that's how I go through my music too. I put it into Serato and I go through it, and I can go through the Beatport app as well, the virtual DJ, you know, that you built, and listen to the songs like that and go, oh, that does go together, and use the effects. Even if it's just playing around, it's more fun and engaging way to listen to the music.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good way to practice. It's a good way to, you know, test out music before you, if you're a downloader, before you download.
Yeah.
So we're actually seeing that where, you know, our download customers are subscribing to this to test songs before they download. And an interesting stat is that those people end up buying more music in the store if they're a subscriber to the streaming service.
That's interesting. Yeah. That makes sense though. Like when I'm on Beatport Link or BeatSource Link, I have access to everything and I can play around with it, and I'm utilizing songs I would never use. I can put them in. I can do stems mode in Serato. I can go, oh my God, if I had this song, I can do this and then remix it. So it does lead you to wanting to buy different genres, different songs, and more music.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep buying. Appreciate it.
Yes, of course. That's so interesting. And then what about, you know, you guys have been, you know, we were talking about things that make an impact, like the James Hype thing. And I think something that made a big impact recently was the Beatport 20th anniversary party. Mm-hmm. And you guys also do a lot of other events, but I think that was a good example of bringing everyone together through music and having this incredible party where everyone's in the same place at once. There's DJs, you know, up and coming DJs and legendary DJs playing there. Why do you think it's important to throw parties and events like that?
We've always threatened to become an event company, but, or at least get into that business, but never really have. I mean, look, I think for us, everything starts with culture and community.
Yeah.
And so where there are opportunities for us to, bring people together, we will. It's not our core business, you know,
right?
99% of our revenue is basically digital, right? So, it's a whole other ball game to get into the live event business.
Right.
And, my mentor actually warned me that that's one of the things that can ruin your career pretty quickly.
Really?
So
getting into the live event business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know,
why?
It's a tough business, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much that can go wrong. Yes. The people that are involved in this are incredible. Like their wills to get this done is unbelievable. I mean, it's whether true. It's weather or, you know, violence, I don't know, whatever, it just, you know, people can get sick. Everything leads up to this one moment in time and you just hope everything goes right.
Right.
You know, and usually it doesn't. So yeah, that's really stressful. You know, but anyway, I think, you know, we've done more in events through a couple of different avenues. Number one is our brand partnerships. Mm-hmm. So we partner with some of the biggest brands in the world that want to access and activate the DJ community in some way. And it's usually involving some kind of IRL event, that feels, you know, has authenticity and is in a cool location, and we live stream it and things like that. So that's one thing that we do, these kind of bespoke, events. Then we also bought, International Music Summit last year, which is the premier, conference for electronic music and DJ culture.
Right.
It opens up the Ibiza season. It's just a couple of weeks, away.
Yeah.
So it's April 22nd to 26th or something.
Right. It's the final weekend of this, and it kicks off the season out there. And that's in conjunction with the people who started it, right? Like Pete Tong
and Ben Turner. Yep.
Legendary people in the scene, obviously. So
yeah, so we came on as majority partner, and you know, definitely had to keep them involved. They're fantastic visionaries and operators. And so yeah, look, this year the conference is going to be bigger and better than prior years. And there's a really fun event at the end, the closing party at Dalt Villa, the UNESCO heritage site there in Ibiza town.
Amazing.
And so it's a really cool event that's growing. And frankly, you know, we're trying to draw a lot of folks from the U.S. now as well, because, you know, it skews a little bit European, which is not a bad thing. But we're also, as part of the IMS brand, is doing these smaller IMS Connect events in key cities around the world to sort of introduce the concept and point people towards next April's conference. And in fact, we're going to do one in New York, I think, in June. It is
nice.
So these are just sort of like half day kind of talks and
right, give them party. A taste of what it's like if they go out there for the full experience.
Yeah. But for us, it's a big opportunity. Again, remember, I started out talking about getting into these little communities, these pockets around the country, and then even around the globe. And this is a great brand and way for us to you know, do these day events and activate those communities and you know, begin to engage with them. So
I think that it's important to have the digital community and the in-person community, and and like you mentioned, the word community, and I think that's what everyone's learning about being online as well. And like you said, some of the streaming growth may be going down. You see people buying vinyl and wanting to be in person, especially after the pandemic and how internal we got and how all live stream we got. So it's nice to see, you know, you being on both ends of things, you know, and building the digital community and the in person.
Yep. I totally agree.
And what about the partnership, like you said, with DJ City, Beatport, BeatSource? Like, how does that work together and how does that strengthen each other?
Yeah, I mean, look, so we initially did a joint venture with DJ City to launch BeatSource.
Yeah.
We then completed the acquisition a few years later. So, and we've done this now, you know, obviously International Music Summit, about six other companies in the last 4 or 5 years that we've purchased. And typically these companies, it kind of all works the same, right? Where you've got great teams, you know, passionate people, great products, and what we can provide is that infrastructure as well as audience to help them gain more adoption in their product.
Right.
And you know, we're there to support these great entrepreneurs. And so it's really worked well. We kind of give them this playground to play in and some support, and, you know, kind of let them do their thing. And it's worked out really well. Again, you've got, you know, across the Beatport Group portfolio now, you've got these, you know, little communities of very passionate customers. And so we want to serve them these products, and it's a, you know, you might look at them and say, oh, what do these products have to do with each other? Mm-hmm. But if you go through like a typical user journey of a DJ, right? So they, you know, start showing an interest in DJing, they're DJ curious. And so they come in and maybe they go to BeatSource or Beatport to learn their craft. And then if they become a professional, like, you know, open format DJ, then, you know, maybe they subscribe to DJ City or,
right.
You know, if they start playing local clubs, you know, a house club, maybe they're a Beatport subscriber. Yeah. And then when they learn to produce, they come to our producer group and they get their software plugins from Plugin Boutique and they get their sound packs from Loop Cloud.
Right.
And then when they want to sign with a label, they can access Label Radar, which is a company we bought that helps artists reach thousands of independent dance labels. Oh, and cool. So they send their demos and it manages that whole process and helps get records signed.
Right.
And then we have a whole suite of label services, so distribution and accounting and promo tools and everything, so you can run your own independent label. And then obviously there's the audience building through you know, through, you know, IMS and obviously Beatport's broad social following. So this all sort of fits together in, you know, creating this lifetime connection between Beatport and, you know, our family of products and all of our customers. So,
yeah, that's so smart. I mean, it's just a whole ecosystem that every part can be utilized. And like you said, they can graduate step by step and come to BeatSource and see, okay, I know these songs. Oh, I can mix them together and then go deeper into the Beatport world.
Yep.
And just eventually become James Hype.
No. There you go. Well, that's, I mean, that's the dream, right?
Right.
You know,
in a way, I mean, that's kind of what his journey was, you know, in the making edits, DJing in a local bar, going to DJ City and, you know, and that whole growth, you know, before having the whole ecosystem like that. But anyone can have an easier time doing that through that path.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's, you know, there is a cool new thing that we are, it just came out sort of soft launch this week. Hopefully by the time this airs, it'll be fully launched.
Oh, but yeah.
We've totally reimagined Beat Portal as the like premier destination for DJ culture, where you can come in and learn about, you know, there's like enhanced editorial, just talking about all the different genres and artists and labels and so forth. Then there's a lot of education portals, modules, so you can learn about DJing and producing. And we've partnered with a lot of the educational institutions. So there's great content there. Yeah. And then a lot of our entertainment is going to be hosted there. So our live streams, documentaries, short form artist interviews.
Very cool.
So it's going to be this, and there's no like advertising or subscription fee or anything behind it right now. So it's just a place for you to go and learn and share and access, you know, the, you know, wherever in the Beatport ecosystem you want your sort of entry point to be. So we're really excited about Beat Portal, and you know, whether you're an open format DJ, electronic music DJ, pro, hobbyist, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there's going to be cool stuff for you to learn there.
That's great. I mean, it's even like how we would get liner notes on the CDs. Like, you want to go deeper into the music, and then education plays such a huge part. Now everybody runs to YouTube or some other site, but if you have it authorized, you know, and co-signed by Beatport, an official site, then you know that you're getting good information and education.
Yeah, exactly. I think, look, education is still a critical barrier that we have to overcome, and it's still intimidating to learn how to DJ. As easy as we try to make it, it's still pretty challenging. But again, that's part of the fun. If it were too easy, then it would be fun. So
yeah, that's true. What about, you know, the funny enough, the Link technology had not fully launched last time we talked, and now it's such a big part of everything. We spoke a little bit about it, but is there anything else that you've learned since that's launched or that the company has learned from that?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's been, I think we had maybe just launched with Rekordbox, but it was early days, and now we have over 30, 35 different software and hardware integrations.
That's amazing.
So I think we've got, you know, really good coverage. Yeah. And, you know, again, I think there are a lot of surprising things that we've learned, including the thing that I mentioned earlier, which is that we're not cannibalizing download sales.
Yeah.
Download sales have gone up every year in the 7 years that I've been here. And I think we're the only place on the planet that can say that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
You know, overall, I think we're about 15% of the global download market, which we're not a big company. So
that's huge. Yeah.
You know, it still feels like an accomplishment. But, you know, I think that, you know, we have been really impressed with the growth of BeatSource on the streaming side. You know,
that's great to hear.
Yeah, that was a little bit of a flat. Like, we didn't know exactly how the community would react to, you know, BeatSource as a streaming platform. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have, you know, download capability, but it's been heavily skewed to the streaming side there.
That's great.
Yeah, which is really fantastic. So that open format DJ really has embraced the technology, and it's really growing about as quickly as the Beatport streaming side.
That's amazing.
That was kind of our hope, you know, but like, it was just a hope. It was just a guess. Like, we weren't like betting the farm on that. So that's been really nice to see.
That's so cool. And how do you, I mean, you're doing all these innovative things. How do you remain creative and innovative while also keeping the authenticity within the DJ community and the culture?
I think that's a great question. It's a tough balance. I mean, we're always listening to our customers, mm-hmm. and we realize that at the end of the day, we're here to serve them. And so, right. you know, I guess pros and cons to everything in life, and DJs are very opinionated, so they let us know about it. And
well, exactly. That's cool. Like you said, the older DJs don't want to change their ways and different stuff.
Yeah. So you got to innovate, but not force them to want to go with you.
I think that's the key thing. You said it earlier too. You can't force them. You have to give them the options to be able to utilize it how they want. And it takes a long time. And that's what people say to me. Well, I'm not ready to switch to streaming. And I say, you don't have to. Right. Just turn it on. And you could play one streaming song, if you want. But it can just be an additional tool for you. And it can be in your library.
Companion tool.
Right. And then you can slowly realize, oh, I'll use this all the time, And I think another reason that you were saying the growth of BeatSource is a lot of these songs are not available on DJ pools anymore. You'd have to download and make your own edit. And now you guys have the ability to legally have the edits and the different things and have songs that aren't available on the DJ pools and they're on BeatSource streaming.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, we innovate. We still have to, we're a legally licensed service, right? So we want to make sure that everything is above board. The right people are getting paid for their works. That's always imperative. And I think, there's a couple of reasons why, but we pay something like 20 to 30 times higher per stream rate than, the other streaming services on the consumer side. So we want to make sure that the artists are getting paid. But we innovate. Obviously we've got to make sure the labels come along for the ride. They're definitely, they don't move as fast as we would like, but they are moving. And, I think it's imperative, especially for the promo pool, the record pool community, that we have product parity within BeatSource.
Yeah.
And what that means is, while we have extended edits now, instrumentals and so forth, we need the remixes in there.
Yeah.
We are that close to getting them all fully licensed.
Amazing.
And I think that at that point, you'll see, even more growth within BeatSource. Cause it's just, it's a better product. And I think also when the labels start getting that data, back, it's going to be pretty impactful on how they view the DJ community.
Right. We've already seen them licensing these mashups that get big on social media and stuff like that. So when they really have the ability to do it and have access to the worldwide DJ community, it's going to be game changer.
Yeah. I mean, it still baffles me, right? And again, nothing against the whole traditional radio promotion game, but how much labels spend to try to get spins, right? Whereas we have a community of hundreds of thousands of DJs that are out there playing this music, and they don't need to we'll pay you.
Right.
We'll pay you.
Yeah.
To let us have access to the music.
So right. They like to fight the thing that's right in front of their face.
It's bizarre, but you can't try to convince them differently, but they'll get there.
Right. What about, the buzzword of the year and the time and AI?
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, but I do think it plays a role in all of this, especially with the music creation and music picking. How is AI used in the Beatport ecosystem or any of that? Or how do you see it?
I've been the beneficiary of being able to make certain predictions in this industry over the last 22 years.
Yeah.
I'd like to think I'm going to be right with this one, which is AI is not going to impact the DJ industry at all, in at least while I'm running this company.
right. Interesting.
And so it's just not going to, it's just not there yet. It's just not accepted. We're not even close.
Yeah.
Now,
it's got some cool features, but everybody's dreams of or visions of what it is are pretty exaggerated.
Could we use AI to help with, curation and things like that, maybe, you know, but again, our curators are amazing.
Right.
So it's not like we can have any desire or to replace them. That's just not how it works.
And that's the thing. When I go to a curated playlist on BeatSource or something, I know that the person doing it goes and DJs in clubs and tests this stuff out and sees what works or not.
Yeah. They understand culture and community.
Right.
Show me an AI that understands culture in a community like this.
Exactly.
It just doesn't exist. So we're a long way from that. Now, on our producer business, you know, there may be some implications, right? Obviously, you know, on the loops and sound packs and so forth, you know, AI generated content could come into the ecosystem. But again, I think more likely it's more about sort of like recommendations and try this and like using it for those purposes.
Right.
At least in the next couple of years.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We're actually chatting with a bunch of AI companies on how we can partner and maybe train their models and, you know, to help the creative process. And again, I think it gets back to, does it help the hobbyist, right? Because does it create a new hobbyist?
Yeah.
By making it easier. You know, because like when you start to learn to produce music, chances are your first couple of productions are going to sound really crappy.
Right.
And so, but you feel good if they sound a little bit better, even if you know a machine helped you.
Yeah, for the mastering or for any of the parts. Yeah. Just how splice and those different ones and loop masters and stuff.
Yep.
And you also have a program this year that's helping like a diverse group of artists, the Beatport Next.
Yeah,
2024. What's the goal with that?
Yeah, so I think this is the third year we've done it, and it's a really successful program that where we identify. I think this year it's how many is it this year? You tell me, 12 or 16? I don't know. It's definitely more than we've had in prior years.
Yeah,
but we identify these young up and coming artists from a broad swath of around the world. Different genres, different locations. And we give them a year's worth of support across our ecosystem of products,
right?
And sort of promotional opportunities. And that can include, you know, events and bookings and so forth and the brand partnerships and obviously in-store promo and editorial and social media. And again, just trying to amplify them. And the results from the first few years were just incredible.
That's amazing.
And so, we feel like sort of the DNA of Beatport, which is, you know, helping to identify tremendous talent early on and giving that extra uplift and then, you know, sending them on their way and hope they remember us, you know, when they accept all their awards. Including their Beatport Awards, which we're bringing back at IMS. I forgot to mention
that. Oh, I saw that. That's great.
Yeah, yeah, it was done in a slightly different format this year. But I think it was like 2014 or something last year they did it. It was a while ago. So, but we've got 10 categories we're going to announce at IMS.
Oh, very
on the
cool.
Wednesday. Yeah, so it'll become bigger and bigger every year. But so the Beatport Next program is a great one.
Nice. Are there any other initiatives or cool things that you guys are working on that we didn't touch on that you want to highlight?
There's a lot.
I mean, there's so much stuff.
So one of the things we did in the last few years was hire a chief community officer, right? Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about community and, and we realized that we were sort of engaging with the community and so many different areas, but it wasn't centralized into, you know, one group that could manage those relationships, you know, cultivate them and make sure that we were doing everything that we could do to support what is an incredibly diverse community of people with all of these aspirations and goals. So, you know, there's ways we support now financially. We did the second year of our Diversity and Parity Fund, where we give grants to organizations and it's money as well as promotional opportunities and support. And so that's just gone phenomenally well. And we're also doing these these talks at various locations in our key cities.
Right. That's great.
You know, bringing the community together to talk about, you know, challenging topics. So that's been a really productive change in the company, I think, in the last few years. And so we want to do more of that.
That's great. Amazing. Well, I don't want to keep you too long.
It is Friday.
We got a lot of things going on. I'm headed to Vegas.
There you go. Don't forget to put me on your billboard.
I will. You know, I'll put you tonight behind me up there.
I love
number 121 song. No,
yeah, that's right.
I got to produce more, but, yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time. I'm so glad we got to catch up after, 4.5 years and hear the progress of everything with Beatport and BeatSource. And I can't wait to talk again and see what's next.
All right. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Bye.
And that was the DJ Spider podcast.